Expert HR Weekly, compliance, good practice and benchmarking for UK HR professionals.
Employment has increased and unemployment has fallen according to the Office for National Statistics. Employers are hiring again, which is great news. But what are your responsibilities as an employer if a disabled person applies for a role? Can you ask them about their health or disability? Are there any adjustments that you need to make for their disability during the recruitment process? And can you withdraw a conditional offer if a disabled job applicant does not pass a medical examination? This last question was dealt with in the recent case of Corey versus Mercy Rail Electric. Here to answer these questions on the subject, I have expert HR employment law editor, Bar Huberman. Hi, Bar.
Hello, Sarah.
Bar, are disabled job applicants protected against disability discrimination in the same way as disabled employees are?
Yes, they are, Sarah. So the duty not to discriminate against disabled employees extends also to job applicants.
And can you give us an overview of what employers need to do during the recruitment process to ensure that they don't discriminate against disabled people?
Well, often there are a number of people involved. Usually the line manager and HR are involved in the recruitment process, but often a number of other people are involved too. And normally there are several stages of the recruitment process. So we've got the advertisement, the interview, the decision on to whom to offer a job and whether or not conditions should be attached to that offer. And at each stage, employers should consider, are disabled job applicants given the same opportunity as non-disabled people of competing for the job at hand? And if the person needs reasonable support during the recruitment process to eliminate any disadvantage to them, then the employer should provide that support.
Okay, so Bar, you're referring here to the duty to make reasonable adjustments. We'll expand on this later, but there's another aspect that employers need to bear in mind in relation to disabled job applicants, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. Under the Equality Act, it's unlawful for employers to ask job applicants about their health, and that includes a disability, before offering them a job or placing them in a shortlist.
And Bar, are there any exceptions to this rule?
Yes, there are some limited circumstances where it's lawful to ask about health during the recruitment process. So one of those exceptions is to find out what reasonable adjustments the employer can make to the interview or any other assessment process. So for example, if there's a dyslexic job applicant, do they need more time to complete a written exercise? And these adjustments should enable the applicant to perform any interview or test at their best. Another of the exceptions is to find out if a person could perform a function that's intrinsic to the role, but that's only after having taken into account reasonable adjustments. And it's important really for employers to bear in mind that this really is a limited exception.
Okay, so they should think carefully before asking any health-related questions.
Absolutely.
And what does this mean for medical reports? Because a lot of employers ask job applicants to pass a medical test as part of the recruitment process.
Well, employers can still ask candidates to undergo a medical examination, but that's only after they've made them a job offer. And the logic behind this is that if a person has been assessed as being able to perform the job, then their disability shouldn't sway the employer as to whether or not to offer them the job.
And can employers make job offers conditional on satisfactory health checks?
Yes, but they should always remember that the job offer must be genuine.
Bar, could you give us some examples of where it might be appropriate to make a job offer conditional on satisfactory health checks?
Yes, I can. Examples include where the job would involve working with hazardous substances or using dangerous equipment, or where the job would involve working at night or if it's a physically demanding role.
Okay. In the case we'll discuss shortly, the employer withdrew a job offer after the job applicant failed a medical examination. In what circumstances is that permissible?
Well, where the employer requires a certain level of fitness for somebody to perform the role and the employee doesn't match that level of fitness as revealed by the medical exam, then it's possible to withdraw the job offer. It's important for employers to remember that any questions asked during a medical examination should always be relevant to the job. Failure of a generic medical exam where the requirements of the examination weren't actually relevant to the job at hand and the employer then withdraws the job offer, that's likely to be disability discrimination. And if a health issue is revealed during the medical examination, it's important for employers to remember that they still have a duty to consider if the person could perform the role, but with reasonable adjustments.
Bar, could you expand on what is meant by reasonable adjustments?
So where a provision criterion or practice or a physical feature of the premises puts a disabled person at a substantial disadvantage compared with non-disabled people, the employer has a duty to take such steps as are reasonable to avoid the disadvantage. And in practical terms, this means that employers need to remove barriers that might get in the way of somebody being offered a job where they're otherwise capable of performing the job.
And what steps should the employer take when thinking about reasonable adjustments where a medical examination indicates that the job applicant does not have the level of health or fitness required for the role?
Well, one of the most important things employers should do is consult the applicant about the steps that they could take to help them perform the role. They shouldn't make assumptions about the applicant's capability or the level and nature of support that he or she requires. And they should remember that the individual is often in the best place to know about what sort of support they require. Employers should also always consider if they need any expert opinion on reasonable adjustments, so from occupational health, HR, and even any external specialists.
Okay, what sorts of things should employers take into account when deciding whether or not a particular level of support is a reasonable adjustment?
Well, the Equality Act Employment Code of Practice gives guidance on factors to take into account when considering reasonable adjustments. And we cover these in our resources on Expert HR, such as our how-to guide on complying with the duty to make reasonable adjustments during the recruitment process. So one of the factors to take into account is, would the adjustment actually be effective in removing the disadvantage to the individual? Another factor is the practicality of the adjustment. Other factors are the financial and any other relevant costs. But employers should always remember that quite often adjustments can be at low or no cost and make a significant difference to the disabled person. Other factors to look at include the extent of any disruption that would be caused by the adjustment and the size of the employer. And overall, I think it's important for employers to think through each situation carefully, to be pragmatic, and to focus on providing equal opportunities.
Okay, and this will go a long way towards demonstrating inclusive behaviour.
Yes. That's right.
And finally, let's turn to Cory versus Mercy Rail Electric, which dealt with these very issues we've been discussing. Bar, can you tell us about the facts of this case?
Yes, the job applicant in this case had epilepsy and he applied for the role of station assistant. And the duties of the role involved undertaking security checks, selling tickets and helping passengers on and off trains. And 90% of the job actually involved working alone. He was offered the job on the condition that he pass a medical examination. He then undertook the medical exam and he was declared fit to work, but this was subject to two limitations, and those were that he shouldn't work trackside and he shouldn't work alone.
And what was Mercy Rail Electric's response to this medical report?
Well, they considered what adjustments they can make, but they decided that the cost and practical difficulties made these adjustments unreasonable and they withdrew the job offer.
So Mr. Cory went on to bring tribunal claims against Mercy Rail Electric. What claims did he make, Bar?
He made claims of direct disability discrimination, discrimination arising from disability, and a failure to make reasonable adjustments.
Okay, we've already looked at the law on the duty to make reasonable adjustments, but could you clarify for us what is meant by discrimination arising from disability?
Sure, so it's a claim that's specific to disability discrimination, and it means that a person is treated unfavourably because of something arising due to their disability, rather than because of the disability itself, which is direct disability discrimination. But the employer can justify this if it's a proportionate means of achieving a legitimate aim. In this case, what arose in consequence of Mr. Cory's disability was his inability to work alone and trackside.
And was Mercy Rail Electric able to justify its withdrawal of Mr. Cory's job offer?
Yes, they were. The tribunal identified a legitimate aim, which was to ensure the safety of employees and passengers. And they said that withdrawing the job offer was a proportionate means of achieving that aim and rejected his discrimination arising from disability claim.
Did Mr. Cory have any more success with his reasonable adjustments claim?
No. So in this case, the relevant provision criterion of practice was the requirement to work alone and to work trackside. The substantial disadvantage to Mr. Cory was that he couldn't do either safely. He argued that the reasonable adjustments Merseyrail should have made were threefold. He said that they should have appointed a companion for him. He should be deployed to a large station and that there should be CCTV. The tribunal rejected his arguments for a few reasons, but in the main, it was because these adjustments wouldn't have actually been effective in removing the disadvantage to him, in that they wouldn't have avoided the risks to his health and safety or to the health and safety of other employees and passengers.
Okay, so Bar, could you wrap up by giving us some key points we can take away from this discussion today?
Yes, so hopefully it goes without saying that when dealing with disabled job applicants, employers should always deal sensitively with the issue of disability. They should approach the matter by looking for solutions rather than viewing it as a problem. And in practical terms, they should consult a variety of sources, including the applicant and any external specialists. They should look at the role and consider any adjustments really carefully. And in Corrie and Mersey Rail, the employer didn't actually consult the applicant, but the person dealing with the case met with the head of HR and the area underground manager and looked at medical evidence. They also looked at the role, its needs and potential adjustments, and they looked at what the claimant could and couldn't do. And the tribunal said that the employer approached the matter conscientiously and in good faith. But of course, it's always a good idea to consult the applicant.
Okay, Bar, thank you very much for these practical tips and the very interesting look at pre-employment health checks and the obligation to make reasonable adjustments during the recruitment process.
It's been a pleasure, Sarah.
And you can find out more about these topics in the Expert HR Employment Law Manual. We also have how-to guidance on complying with the duty to make reasonable adjustments during the recruitment process, which Bar mentioned earlier, as well as relevant model documents. That brings us to the end of this week's Expert HR Weekly, which you've been listening to with me, Sarah Anderson. We're back next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.
Expert HR Weekly, the latest from experthr.co.uk, the award-winning subscription service for HR professionals.